training camp is upon us, and here the regular season is just a few weeks away. So we're going to go over some expectations. We're also going to talk about contracts and the new wave of players in the NHL. We'll go down and talk about trade rumors, which ones are legit and which ones smoke, injury signing updates, all that and more coming up on episode 151 of the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast. Let's go. Yes, welcome in. Very different looking today than it was last week. I think last week on Tuesday it was sunny, it was beautiful outside. Today, a little rainy, a little cloudy, a little chilly, which means fall is here, which means hockey season is around the corner. My name is Kyle Grimard, your host as always. You can follow along with the Second Thoughts Hockey Podcast on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Social media, Instagram, Twitter at ST Hockey Podcast. What we're going to talk about today, because training camp is in, I am not going through all 32 teams and talking about the bubble players and the 14th forwards that could be making on some teams, but I'm going to go around and talk about expectations, and I'm going to talk about a team in particular that has been very hyped up for a reason, but maybe a little bit too much. We're also going to talk about the new wave of contracts moving forward with players and why it could be the case and who's leading the charge on that. And if we all know McDavid is the best player on planet Earth, who's second? Who's third? We'll talk about all that along with trade rumors, which ones are real, which one is all smoke. But I want to start with the contracts that we are slowly going to begin to see and that are being talked about and that actually are already in the league right now. So Nathan MacKinnon, we're still fresh off of the 8-year deal, $12.6 million per year. He's the highest paid player in the game, not this year, but starting next year. And we saw some 7-8-year deals. Tkachuk, we saw Gaudreau with those big contract extensions. Now, 8-year deals are still going to happen, still going to be prevalent, especially players in that 27, 28 years of age range. Nazem Kadri, long extension. He's 31, 7 years in Colorado. But we've already started to see shorter term second contracts to help maximize earnings from players. Kirill Kaprizov, I believe, signed a 5-year deal at $9.5 million. Cale Makar, 6 years at $9 million. And of course, the most famous one, Austin Matthews. I believe it was a 5-year, $11.634 million. This is going to be the way it is, folks. Whether you like it or not, star players that come into the league that finish up on their entry-level deal, the last player to sign that 8-year deal at that caliber-level player was Connor McDavid. And Connor McDavid signed that deal before Austin Matthews did the 5-year thing at $11.6 million. Here's why. Players come into the league 18, 19 years of age, and they're studs out of the gate. McDavid, Matthews, right there, they're electric. And so their entry-level deal is like the greatest thing of all time because they make 800 grand and then bonuses and stuff. They come out to like $3 million. Then the second deal hits, and it's the, oh God, we're screwed. Cap's going to jump a gajillion dollars as it did in Edmonton, and they had to figure it out. And Matthews at 22 said, I want to sign 5 years at $11.6 million. Toronto happy to do it. 5 years puts him at 27. Cale Makar's deal, he's younger than Matthews, his deal ends at 27. Kirill Kaprizov, I believe 28 will be his age. But the point of it is, instead of signing the 8-year deal at 22, it takes you to 30, and now teams are a little bit more reluctant to sign you to that 8-year contract. Now, we saw it with MacKinnon. We've seen it with JT Miller. We've seen it with the 7 years in Kadri and Gaudreau and Tkachuk. And again, I'm not saying we're not going to see those numbers. And honestly, they could all still happen. The way the NHL is, when you sign a contract, it's guaranteed. NFL, very different. Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year, I think it was $500 million extension. But not all that money's guaranteed. So if he gets hurt and can never play football again, a lot of that money, I think almost $200 million of it, the Chiefs don't have to pay Mahomes. But in hockey, as we've seen, some bigger contracts that don't work out, you sign that contract, you're committed. That's a commitment to that player, and you got to ride it out. The Islanders and Rick DiPietro, back in the day, if you're listening, 13-year, 100-whatever-million-dollar extension to Alexander Ovechkin off his original entry-level deal. Signed him 13 years. DiPietro's deal was 15 years. The Ryan Suter, Zach Parise, I think, were 11 or 12-year deals. The offseason Minnesota Wild signed Ryan Suter and Zach Parise to identical, I think they were 13-year deals. And both of them came to bite the teams in the you-know-what. So the league made the exception that you can only sign a player to the max extension of 8 years. And it doesn't mean that players are not going to sign these deals anymore, these eight-year deals. Another one I missed. Jonathan Huberdeau, extension in Calgary. But what it means is for the undoubtedly superstar players of the league, the Matthews, the McDavids. We could say McKinnon, but McKinnon didn't blossom until after he signed his, I think it was a 6-year deal, 7 years at $6.3 million. And even then he signed 7 years because Colorado locked him in. There was risk on that. It worked out for them and then they relocked him into 8 years. But I think a lot of players now want a little bit more control. Cap's going to start going up. We see it in football. Every year, there's a new highest paid player. There's a new highest paid quarterback. There's a new highest paid wide receiver. There's a new highest paid running back. Starting next year, there will be a player in the NHL who makes more money than Connor McDavid. Auston Matthews' contract ends before McDavid's current deal. Auston Matthews will make more money than Connor McDavid. That is you can hammer that down as a guarantee. And then McDavid's going to re-up, and his contract is going to be higher than McKinnon's and Matthews. But Matthews has had this little 5-year gap where he makes 11.6. Instead of 3 years ago signing an 8-year at 12, he takes three less years at a slightly less cap hit. And when the deal's up, he maximizes and that gets basically another massive contract out of it. Now, guys like Matthews and McDavid, those guys are going to get their money regardless. But I think to really maximize it, maybe you start seeing more of these star players take these not bridge deal, but not max deal contracts where they're in between the 3 years and 8 years at like the 5-6 year range for a million or two less. And then once they get to their late 20s, that's where guys will capitalize on it. I'm very intrigued to see where this going, but it's a new age of player. It's a new age of contracts. Hopefully the league is smart and they start marketing their players like the NFL and NBA do. And when they do that, you start giving more power to the players. It's the way that sport is heading. It's the way the NHL is heading. Other sports are already there. We're starting to see these smaller term deals for the player to have a little bit more control over things. Doesn't mean a player's going to go somewhere else. It just means they want to maximize their potential while they're in the league. All right, let's stick on the elite player conversation right now. So there was an article done up on The Score that said, if McDavid's the best player in the world, who's the second best player? And they went in and they actually interviewed NHL players and got them to cast their votes. They asked 11 different players at the World Player Media Tour for their thoughts to get a sense on how to see how the NHLers debate this. This is what they voted. The second best player, according to the players, is Austin Matthews. And I'm here to tell you something. They're right. Votes from Zach Werenski, Roman Josi, Clayton Keller, Morgan Riley, and partial votes from Jordan Staal and Jeremy Swayman. Nobody has scored more goals than Austin Matthews since he entered the league. He is the quintessential number one center. He won the Hart Trophy. But the one part about Matthews' game that I think separates from the McDavids, from the McKinnons, he has some of the best analytical defensive numbers in hockey. He has done it for some time, and players have also taken notice. Zach Werenski said, he's incredible defensively, a two-way center, and he still finds a way to score 60 goals. It's pretty impressive. That's the thing. Bergeron's going to win the Selkies, but Bergeron is not putting up 60. And I'm not harping on a player, but a lot of what Pavel Datsyuk did, I'm going to a different player here. But a lot of what Pavel Datsyuk did, does, right? He was a magician with the puck, incredible passer, but defensively, right? He was a defensive wizard. People didn't talk about his goal scoring as much because he didn't score as many goals. Ryan O'Reilly, constant 25-30 goal guy, very great two-way centerman, always in the Selke conversation, but puts up about 60-70 points a year. If he put up 60 goals, his defensive skills would not be talked about as much. Let me compare a different player in a different sport, just to give you an example. And I'm not comparing the two players. This is just, let me go with this. LeBron James in the NBA is a three-time champion. He's gone to the finals 7 times. He's won multiple MVPs, I think 3 or 4. He is second all-time in scoring, only behind Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes, ahead of Kobe Bryant. Yes, ahead of Michael Jordan. Yes, ahead of Karl Malone. He's one of the greatest passers in the league. He is an all-world defensive player. LeBron James has never won a Defensive Player of the Year award. You want to know why? Because everyone's praising him for winning and scoring and getting assists. And so Defensive Player of the Year goes to players who, not that they're not great offensively, just they're more well-known for their defensive play. And let me tell you something. This is going to be something that will always follow Matthews around. It will be something that forever, Matthews will never get the credit for how good of a centerman he is, how good defensively he is, how aware he is on the ice, steals, you name it. But I think that that level puts him alone in second. And again, this is in the NHL today. So if you're thinking, well, what about Sidney Crosby? Crosby is still elite defensively, elite offensively, but Matthews is 25 in the prime of his career, and Sidney Crosby is on the back nine. Crosby is not putting up 50 goals and 117 points next year, 104 points, whatever Matthews had. It's not happening. But he will still put up point per game, high 70s, low 80s points. Still the captain, still a phenomenal two-way player. But right now, I think Matthews is that dude. Now, the players went on and voted here. Number 3 on the list was Sidney Crosby. Philip Deneau, Max Domi, Cam Atkinson gave him votes, saying he's the full package, does it all perfectly. And I don't blame them for voting him. but I think in terms of dynamic. And yet there's a leadership part of it too. But I think Nathan McKinnon's number three. I really do. I think he is so explosive offensively. And it even says in the article, he had a couple years where he missed a few games. He's had, I think, close to 100 points multiple times. He should have at least two 100-point regular seasons. But Jonathan Huberdeau, when told that McKinnon finished at number four on the list, because Crosby was three, Huberdeau's quickest response was, who's number two? Jonathan Huberdeau found out it was not, in fact, Nathan McKinnon. It's funny because having a team with both Nathan McKinnon and Cale Makar, who's also on this list, seems unfair, hence why Colorado won the Cup and why it was so surprising that Colorado took as long as they did. But Nathan McKinnon has just, since his last, I want to say, 4 years, like when it was, you know what it was? It was when Colorado traded away Matt Duchene. There was another top round pick on the team, still giving him the minutes and opportunity. As soon as he was gone and they paved the way, that's when Nathan McKinnon took over and said, this is my team. And with the help of Gabriel Landeskog and Rantanen playing a big part, obviously Cale Makar on the back end, but Nathan McKinnon really took the threshold of this team, and he is the difference maker offensively. Makar's something else on the back end, who also put up a stupid amount of points. But Nathan McKinnon in the playoffs, just, there were times where he'd rush the puck and you just watch, and as a defenseman, you'd see him 15, 20 feet away. You better turn around and start skating forwards or else you're not catching him. And I think that dynamic of a player, speed, not to McDavid, but on par with him, he is, I do believe he's number three in the world right now. Number four, I would have Sidney Crosby. Because of the position, the responsibility that he has, the fact that he is an all-around player, he's got two hearts, two Conn Smythes, three-time Stanley Cup champion. He's probably going to be on the NHL's Mount Rushmore, where he has won at literally every single level. And some people, who Crosby's now 35, or think, oh, he's washed up, he doesn't have it anymore, he's not good, he's entering his 18th season, he can't do it. I think that's just a lazy way to go about Sidney Crosby, just because a player gets older, automatically like, yeah, you know, they're time to move on. Do you know how many points Crosby had this year? By the way, only played in 69 games. 84. He had 84 points. Sidney Crosby, to put in perspective, this is insane, because this is true. It doesn't matter if he's been hurt, if a season has been shortened, if there's a lockout, you name it. Sidney Crosby has never had a season averaging less than a point per game. His worst season came 3 years ago when he played 41 games, had 16 goals and 47 points. That's his worst season to date. His other ones include 37 points in 22 games, 72 points in 53 games, 62 points in 55 games. Those are his worst seasons ever. And last year, in just 69 games, had 31 goals and 53 assists. You tack on 13 more games, keeping up with the conversation that he has never had less than a point per game average. Let's say he just gets the dead on 13 points. That would have put him at 97 points in an 82 game season last year. The last time, by the way, he came close to playing 82 games, which was just 4 years ago, was in 2018-2019. He played 79 games. Shocker, he had 100 points. Crosby still that dude? At no point in his career did it ever disappear. I get the Ovechkin one. Ovi disappeared for a couple years. He had seasons where he only had like 56 points in a 70-something game season, right? And now he's come back and now he's averaging 50 again and it's fine. Crosby's never had that dip. The only dip he had was when he didn't play due to injury in 2011-2012 after the concussion he got in the outdoor game, and in 22 games put up 37 points. There's just not an argument to me towards Sidney Crosby that he is like never not produced or never disappeared. I don't know if that's an argument or not, but I think it's the it's the argument of he's been around for so long, it's boring. Why does he always win all the time? Why is he always ranked as the number one player? That people want new, they want change. But Sid's not going anywhere. And Sid is still that guy, still on that level. He's still there for me. And then at number five on the list, I would have Cale Makar. Makar has become that guy. And then after the top five, you can go anywhere. Like, I would have Draisaitl at six, let's say. And then you could bring a list of guys like Kucherov or whatever, right? You could go along. Vasilevsky, if you really wanted to as well. But I truly believe Makar at the number four spot makes sense. By the end of the season, he could be the number two guy. He was that good. Makar has entered the conversation towards best in the world status, and there is a very likely possibility that he could challenge McDavid and supplant Matthews if he does as good, if he has as good of a season as he did last year, if not better. But it's not just his offensive ability, because offensively, of course, he was stellar, right? Put up an insane amount of points over the regular season, playoffs. He was still a factor as well. But defensively, same thing with Matthews. Doesn't get the credit defensively because he's 5'11", 187 pounds. But he had 29 points in 20 games in the playoffs. He's a career over point per game average player in the playoffs. And in 77 games last year, had 28 goals and 86 points. No, he is not a forward. And just in terms of defensive metrics, he was a plus 48. I know, plus minus, blah, blah, blah. I don't care what you have to say. He was a plus 48. That's insane on any metric. He's never been a minus player, even his rookie year where he came in and had 50 points in 57 games. But Makar right now, I would have at that four spot. He's as good as it gets. He's not even 24 yet. I think he turns 24 at the end of October. He's only going into his fourth season. And he came in around the same time as like Quinn Hughes did and Adam Fox did. And there was this like new wave of young stud defensemen. Miro Heiskanen's another one. But he is just completely catapulted himself to not only above those guys, but ahead of a lot of other players in the league. Like, if you were starting an NHL franchise and let's just say the first three players are off the books, like McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon, I wholeheartedly believe that Cale Makar would be the guy taken after. Like, he would be one of the players ahead of Vasilevsky, ahead of Matty Brenner's in Seattle, like ahead of any of the first overall picks or anyone like that. Like, that he would be the quintessential player you build your team around. That is how good of a player he is. And it could very likely be that he could be higher on this list by the end of the year. But I saw that list. I wanted to talk about it in depth a little bit more. I thought it was very interesting. All right, let's move on here and let's talk expectations. You know, every year in training camp, when teams are asked or players are asked what their expectations are, obviously some of the answers are, we want to make playoffs, right? Want to make the playoffs, want to compete for a Stanley Cup, you know what I mean? Some teams are a little bit more realistic than others, and some understand they're going through growing pains, they're building towards something, and some teams set too high expectations. but there is a lot of hype right now around the Ottawa Senators, not just to be better than they were next year, because I hope they would. No. They're expected to leapfrog like four teams ahead of them in the Atlantic Division and be comfortably in a playoff position. Before I really dive in, I recognize they went out and acquired Alex DeBrincat. I recognize that they went out and signed Claude Giroux. I also understand the growing, budding youth of Tim Stützle, of Josh Norris, of Drake Batherson, Brady Tkachuk even, their captain. I get it. But just indulge with me for a second here, okay? Are they going to be better this year than they were last year? Absolutely. God, I hope so. They're going to score more goals. Their top six, quite good. Tkachuk, Norris, Batherson, DeBrincat, Stützle, Giroux. Even their third line, Formanton, Pinto, Matthew Joseph. Joseph was a great get. Tyler Mott on the fourth line. They have Austin Watson. You know what area of the ice Ottawa did not address at all? Their defense. Outside of signing Travis Hamonic, who I cannot remember for the life of me the last time he's played a full season, they're going to have rookie Jake Sanderson, Thomas Chabot, who's a stud, Eric Brandstrom, who has not panned out since the Erik Karlsson trade, Artem Zub, and Nikita Zaitsev. Oh, and their goaltending is 35-year-old Cam Talbot and Anton Forsberg, who was essentially forced to be the starter on that team this past season. Their defense has not gotten any better. Their goaltending has not gotten any better. Oh, they got rid of Matt Murray. When Matt Murray was there, he's actually pretty good. It was the $6.5 or $2.5 million he was making that was the problem. Cam Talbot's had one good season. That was in Edmonton like 4 years ago. He kept getting replaced in Minnesota because Minnesota didn't think he was good enough. Anton Forsberg used to be a backup when he was in Chicago. And he was booted out of there. I'm not trying to harp on these players. I just, all I hear about, especially if, like, let's just say, for example, Toronto Maple Leafs, their goaltending's trash. Their goaltending consists of a now healthy 28-year-old, two-time Stanley Cup champion goaltender who Ottawa had. They just had an abysmal defense behind him in Matt Murray. And a 25-year-old former first-round pick who has put up good numbers but played behind a very bad defensive team in Washington last year who, the moment you made a mistake, you were replaced with the other guy. I'm taking a 25-year-old over a 35-year-old and a 29-year-old goaltender who has 102 career games in the league. He has a career 303 goals against and 909 save percentage and has not played more than 46 games ever. Now, last year, 917 save percentage, 282 goals against. Like, those are good numbers. I just mean, he's never been that guy. It wasn't a first-round pick. It was a seventh-round selection to Columbus 11 years ago. I don't buy it as much. Let's also throw into effect here. The Ottawa Senators didn't just miss, like, getting into the third spot in the Atlantic Division, which is a playoff spot. They missed the wild card spot by 27 points. They had 73 points last year, and the final wild card spot was held by the Washington Capitals, who hit 100 points on the season. That was a bad year for them. The next closest was Pittsburgh at 103, Boston at 107, Tampa at 110. You've got 27 points to make up. And by all accounts, Buffalo's going to be better. Montreal's going to be better. The Blue Jackets are going to be better. The Devils are going to be better. The Red Wings might be better. You don't just leapfrog the teams that are just going to stay. They've also improved. Boston got better, believe it or not. David Krejci coming back, big help. Tampa Bay, despite losing Ryan McDonagh, still pretty good. Toronto lost Jack Campbell and Ilya Mikheyev. They're still pretty good. The Panthers lost Giroux, lost Chiarot, they lost Huberto. They have Tkachuk. They still got Barkov. They're still good. That's not how it works. I want to pump the brakes on them for just... They got two players. Looking at the roster. Sorry, three if you include Cam Talbot. They got DeBrincat and Giroux for their second line. They already had Joseph from the trade last year. Batherson and Norris and Tkachuk are already there along with Stützle, Shane Pinto, and Alex Formanton. And they're going to get Jake Sanderson this year, who will be a rookie. I've heard a lot of great things about him as a defenseman, but it's not a guarantee that you just walk into the league and immediately make an impact. Takes time. And a lot of teams got better. The gap will be smaller, for sure. But 27 points, let's make it 28, is a 14-win difference. For that to happen, take 14 wins off of their loss. For Ottawa to be as good as what everyone's talking about, they need to get to 47 wins to get to 101 points. They have to lose 14 games less, which would mean they lose less than 30 all year long. They lost 42 in regulation alone. We've seen quick turnarounds from teams. Absolutely. Just don't be surprised if they're not as good as we think. That's all I'm going to say on that. But just can we pump the brakes a little bit on a team that we haven't even seen them yet? They added two offensive players and a fringe starting goalie. There's a sizable gap to close before we go any further. Let's close the gap first and then talk about take the next step. All right, let's rip through here because we've been going a little bit longer than I thought. There's some trade rumors and contract rumors that have gone on. I want to talk about which ones are legit, which ones aren't. Couple trade rumors out there. So apparently in Minnesota, Matthew Dumba. Rumors about the potential of his the salary cap cutting him from the roster. He said, not dwelling on it. He's in the final year of his current contract right now, 28 years of age, right-hand shot defenseman. There will be conversations about that. Dumba's a guy that's had his name kind of thrown about for the last couple of years, and he just hasn't gone. I think they really like him there. I don't buy that one as much. I could be totally wrong on this one, but I think Matthew Dumba at least plays the rest of the year there, and then they'll worry about the cap restraints afterwards. I think Minnesota's got some money coming off the cap, and maybe they can use that to re-sign him. He already makes, I think, six-something right now, so he'll get a little bit more, but it's not like he's going to double his contract like McKinnon did. So I think Dumba's got a really good chance of staying. That's why I think he's not worried about it, and I understand why. So Matthew Dumba, potential trade because of cap restrictions. I don't buy it right now. We'll see a little bit later on. St. Louis Blues and Ryan O'Reilly. Another one. Conversations apparently have already happened about the potential of him re-signing. rumors about him being moved right now. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he wanted out of remember when he was in Buffalo? He signed a deal and he could not stand it in Buffalo. Like, it was bad for him. And he wanted out. And he got traded. He went to St. Louis. He's a prominent player. He was, I believe he won the Conn Smythe when he was there, when they won the Stanley Cup. I think he's loved his time here. They're perennially in the playoffs. He's got a great relationship with a lot of guys. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think his contract will end. I think he gets re-signed there. I don't think he goes anywhere. I think Ryan O'Reilly stays as well. Then the last one that I have like written down here are Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews. I lumped them together because those have been, both of them have been in rumors. You can't hear one name without hearing the other name. I think Kane for sure, if not by the deadline, then by next year, will not be a Chicago Blackhawk. I think Toews wants to go more, but I think there will be more interest in Patrick Kane. I think a team will be a lot more willing to eat or to take on at least $5 million in that cap hit or 5.25, or if they split it between three teams. But I still think taking Kane at five is a lot more enticing to teams than taking Jonathan Toews at five, especially because Kane has continuously been like a perennial player. He's also won a Conn Smythe. He's always been a playoff performer. I think he's aged a little bit better than Jonathan Toews. Now, I know Jonathan Toews has gone through health problems. Don't come at me on that one. I understand. I'm glad that he was able to even play last year, which was fantastic. Jonathan Toews is like an all-timer, in my opinion. But I think with where they stand in other teams' viewpoint, I think Kane would be the more desirable player. I think more teams would be out to get him, including the Buffalo Sabres, the New York Rangers. There's been rumors about the Oilers having a go at him. Toronto, potentially, even though I don't think there's a fit there. But I think Kane could be a guy that goes. I think Toews could eventually still go. But I also get, I understand if you won't be moved by the deadline, because a team just won't take him on. Unless you have a third-party team, but teams are giving up a lot of assets to make that happen. And if you're doing a three-way trade, you want that player to be a little bit more impactful offensively and have that punch. And I think, again, Kane is a little bit more than Toews in that regard. But I also could see both of them going. I could see a team looking for some center depth and going and grabbing a Jonathan Toews. I really could. I really, really could. Kane is the more likely one for me, though he's been a little bit more hesitant. But both those players could be gone by the deadline. But I think for sure Patrick Kane, probably not a Hawk next year. Potentially Jonathan Toews isn't either, but it's wild to me. It's wild that that era is coming to an end. Really is. All right, quick news and notes here before we head on out of here. Some breaking news. The Florida Panthers extend goaltender Spencer Knight to a three-year deal worth an average annual value of $4.5 million per season. It was him and Sergei Bobrovsky this past year going back and forth. Here's something about Spencer Knight that I don't know if you knew. He's been around for a couple years now. His entry-level deal is going into the final year of it. He's 21, which is insane to me. What's also interesting, Sergei Bobrovsky, $10.5 million or $10 million on the cap. They will combine to pay $14.5 million for their goaltenders from 2023 to 2026. Why is that interesting? Because at the end of 2026, both contracts expire. He was a 13th overall pick in 2019. He's a career .909 save percentage in 36 games, and he had a .933 save percentage in two playoff games as well. He's an NCAA standout from Boston College, helped the lead United States to a World Junior Hockey Championship gold medal. He is the future of goaltending for the Florida Panthers. But it's interesting that they signed him to the exact date at the end of Sergei Bobrovsky. I think that was more on the player than the team, because he knows once that $10 million comes off the cap, he is going to be in line for a good chunk of it when his contract ends. And if he keeps trending in the right direction, because that deal will end at him being 25, actually, That is an 8-year payday waiting to happen. Or he does another 3-year, gets to 28, then signs his big contract. I don't know. It's funny because we talked about that earlier. But Spencer Knight, 3-year extension for the Florida Panthers. Good on him. Congrats to him on the payday. Vancouver Canucks forward Brock Besser sidelined for the next 3 to 4 weeks with a hand surgery he underwent yesterday. Their season begins on October 12th against the Oilers. He could miss potentially the first 2 weeks of the season. He injured his hand in training camp on Saturday. He had 23 goals and 23 assists in 71 games this past season and was re-signed as well to a 3-year extension in the offseason. Forward Nolan Patrick for the Vegas Golden Knights is set to sit out for the 2022-23 season, due to an upper body injury. He's just 24 years of age. He only played 25 games this past year for the same injury. Vegas will be able to place his $1.2 million on LTIR, but man, for a guy that has endured as much injury and setbacks as he has, you really just pray for the forward in hopes that at some point he can find his health and get back to the NHL level. So praying for him, get healthy this season, Nolan, and hopefully we'll see you back next year. And then Matthew Barzal looking to sign a contract extension as well. This one I think will be happening. He'll be in the final year of his 3-year, $21 million deal. He makes $7 million per year, but has come out and said that he really believes that he can see himself long-term in New York, saying there's still 3 weeks before the season. He said he's hoping to hammer something out. Said he would love to finish his career as an Islander. He said, if not, I'm really worried about it because my heart's here. And I know that we'll get something fair and something both sides will be happy about. So he is a very easygoing guy in terms of just wanting to stay. Loved his time in New York, despite the coaching changes and Lou Lamoriello and everything like that. So he loves it there. He's the pinnacle player. We could potentially be seeing something before the regular season ends, but it wouldn't be surprising if something happened a little bit later as well. Only 25 years of age, he would become a restricted free agent again at the end of the season if his deal is not signed. All right, that does it today. Training camp and exhibition games are going. Enjoy them. The regular season is around the corner. You can listen on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor.com, wherever you get your podcasts, online at ST Hockey Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Listen, go enjoy, relax. Whatever you're doing out there, don't work too hard. Enjoy what you do. Relax, take some time to yourself, whatever the case may be. Talk to someone about things going on in your life. And that does it. Stay happy and enjoy. We'll see you next week. Until then, that's a wrap.